Well, this month marks the 70th anniversary of the Berlin Airlift, the nearly year-long campaign that supplied food and energy to the 2 million or so people living in West Berlin after World War II. Berlin, like Germany at the time, was divided. French, British, and American powers controlled the West. The Russians controlled the East. But West Berlin was cut off from West Germany, surrounded on all sides by the Soviets. As reporter Cassandra Sunt explains, the Berlin Airlift is seen by many historians as the first showdown of the Cold War.
After years of being bombed by the Allies and a ferocious battle for the city, Berlin at the end of World War II was devastated. Brigitte Murdoch was born in Berlin in 1935 and lived through most of the war in the Nazi capital.
It was horrific. You have seen pictures of Syria and so on when a perfectly good multi-story building is suddenly ravished, right? Okay, now imagine that for the whole city.
Following the war, the four occupying powers began rebuilding Berlin. But historians say the cooperation between Russia and the Allies was short-lived.
Then a lot of problems occurs, and it was obvious that they had different ideas how their part of Germany should develop in the future.
Bernd von Costa, acting director of the Allied Museum in Berlin, says the final trigger for the conflict was money. The Brits, Americans, and French wanted to introduce a new currency in Western Germany, including West Berlin. The Soviets did not.
We are really in the middle of the Cold War then.
The Soviets decide to cut off access to West Berlin from West Germany.
It was ships, the land road, and the railway, and that altogether took 10 days. So the tension was getting, I think a British general said, the Russians have their hands on our throat, and now they are closing their hand.
The blockade was challenging for residents of West Berlin, as this 1948 newsreel explains.
The word sanctions took on a grimmer meaning for Berliners as the Russian blockade against the people of the western sectors went into its third week. Power shutoffs, necessitated by the coal shortage, cut deep into production.
To counter the Soviets' blockade, the Western powers decided to fly in aid. That operation became known as the Berlin Luftbrücke, or the Berlin Airlift. On June 24, 1948, the three Western powers started flying in everything, from milk to flour to coal. Pilot Gail Halvorsen, born in Salt Lake City in 1920, was nearly 28 when he volunteered for the mission. But it was a difficult choice for him because of the memories he still carried from fighting in the Second World War.
There was the enemy, and during World War II, they'd shot down one of my best buddies that taught how to fly. So I had a hard time getting over it, but I knew that it wasn't the people in Berlin that was the problem, it was the Soviets. And so I didn't have any problem with the helping the kids, and the German kids, and that were the brunt of the action taken by the Soviet Union.
Mercedes Wild was 7 when the airlift started. She lived right by Tempelhof Airfield in Berlin and says at first the planes were scary. They reminded her of wartime bombing raids.
And you can imagine for a kid what it means every 3 minutes to hear, even in the night, this airplane. But when I remember in the right way, it was a sign of safety that there some is watching for you in a good way.
The scope of the operation was massive. Von Costa says at its height, the Allied forces landed 1,396 planes within a 24-hour period.
That's an average of one plane every 62 seconds. And we're talking about 1949. So even nowadays, airports don't have an airplane every 60 seconds.
But perhaps the sweetest part of the Berlin Airlift was an initiative led by the pilot you heard from earlier. When Gail Halvorsen started to meet children huddled around the airport fences, he could tell the kids barely had enough to eat, never mind any sweets. So he started dropping candy out of the windows of his plane, tied to handkerchiefs like little makeshift parachutes.
It didn't have any at all, and so when they had it coming out of the sky, free and to catch, it was a wonderful thing for them. A thrill for them and a thrill for me.
When word caught on, the children of West Berlin, like Mercedes Wild, would write to him with requests.
I wrote to him every day. He is flying over our house. I see the pilots in the machine, and he might see the garden. Please drop there. All will be fine.
Gale and his fellow pilots would, in the end, deliver over 20 tons of candy to the children of West Berlin. Eventually, the Soviets relented, and the blockade ended on May 12, 1949. More than 1.5 million tons of coal and 500,000 tons of food were delivered at that time. The Cold War wouldn't end for another 40 years, with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. But Berliners like Brigitte Murdoch still remember the airlift.
To this day, I could cry when I think that people, there were at least, I think, 78 people killed in that, and they were allies. And we still mourn. No, we never forgot it.
She and others feel eternal gratitude toward the 31 Americans and 40 Britons who gave their lives to bring coal, food, and sometimes candy to the people of West Berlin. For Here and Now, I'm Cassandra Sund.